And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going to do something we like to do on a regular basis, which is keep you informed of certain key stories that are happening in and around and amongst you. So every once in a while, when I'm looking up things for the show, when I'm resourcing is what I call it, when I'm resourcing the show for the day, when I'm getting the dippers ready, I realize there's enough stuff out there that, you know, we got to pay attention to that's happening right here. It's not just what happens in D.C. It's not just what happens on the foreign policy stage. Sometimes you got to look around and in and around and amongst you and realize that what happens in your own backyard might even be more impactful. That we call that cooking up a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. Cook them, man. Cook them up. All right, so the first one I got, I'm going to dive into Alabama here for a minute. So you may recall, we mentioned it yesterday, that there was a major shooting incident in Montgomery over the weekend. This major shooting incident is something that, in my opinion, should be national news. I mean, look at some of the other stories that are national news and then question why this is not. But there was a shootout that resulted in 14? 14 people being shot. 14 people being shot, two of which were killed. So 12 injured, two killed in a shootout. What we know of it right now, this happened in Montgomery. It happened on Saturday evening. It happened just down the road from our state capitol. I mean, just blocks away. We had Morgan Murphy on yesterday, who is very familiar with the area, and he talked about this very thing. But we had two dead, 12 injured in a major shooting incident. There was apparently a large gathering because of a football game in the historically black college and universities. The Crampton Bowl. It was an HBCU game at the Crampton Bowl in Montgomery. Crowds were bigger than usual. The city of Montgomery is also unveiling a new Ferris wheel. It's going to be a permanent fixture in downtown. It's right near the Biscuit Stadium. And the shootout was massive. Well, now the war of words has begun. Who's to blame? Who, pray tell, is to blame? Somebody's to blame. Well, first of all, the criminals are to blame. By the way, they don't have a suspect. Now, the mayor of Mayor Stephen Reed, the liberal mayor of Montgomery, he said the police responded very quickly, and I don't fault the police. They responded very quickly. He said that one police officer was only 50 feet away when the shooting began, which I find that interesting. But they don't have any suspects. One story I read seemed to indicate that there were two people with firearms, but a lot of people in the way in terms of collateral damage. But on the same day, it says the state leaders announced tougher state action in Alabama's capital city. Mayor Stephen Reed is pointing the finger at the state's lax gun laws. So, of course, that's the problem. Because guns are the problem. Not the criminals. Not the thugs. Not the ones who pulled the trigger. It's got to be the gun itself. Well, Mayor Reed says in response to Governor Ivey's recent directives on safety and security, said there's no legislation that could stop that kind of evil in the moment. But he asserted that Alabama law makes it far too easy to carry firearms and too hard for officers to intervene. Come on. No, it's not. That's unreal. Montgomery City Council, says Mayor Stephen Reed, and the mayor's office tried to bring a measure of accountability by requiring anyone openly carrying a firearm to show identification upon request. Well, since the state law became that we are, now we've been an open carry state for a long time, but we're now a permitless carry state also. You can carry concealed and not require a concealed carry permit for it. So you've got a situation right now where Montgomery was trying to take it one step further and put what would have to be a gun control measure in place. So you've got a gun control city council and mayor's office. You've got an effort to try and curtail state law. They've been admonished by the AG's office. But the reality is, it's about policing. And it's about giving the police in the venue what they need to do the work. And you're not getting, the bottom line is, Montgomery's got a problem. And Montgomery's problem is A, crime, and B, soft on crime members of the city council and the mayor's office. I will say this, I find it interesting that towards the end of the article, it says that Mayor Stephen Reed said, "We welcome any assistance the state is willing to provide." Really? Do you mean that? I question whether you mean that.
Well, apparently, according to Yellowhammer News, Kay Ivey actually reached out to Stephen Reed to offer that up.
I'm getting to that one next. Absolutely.
And he ignored her, of course.
Yeah, never responded. By the way, Aaliyah, the state law enforcement agency, says no arrests have been made, but a $50,000 reward has been posted. And Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall said on Sunday, that in response to the shooting, his office stands ready for, quote, revisiting the conversation about the state's authority over its capital. Okay, what does that mean? All right, here's the next piece. Governor Kay Ivey, we hear from Yellowhammer News, if I can pick up the article, right here in my callous former paratrooper hands. Governor Kay Ivey called Montgomery Mayor Stephen Reed to offer help after the mass shooting. He did not answer and has not called back. Come on. I mean, I realize he doesn't work for her per se, but that is definitely a peer, so to speak. He's the mayor of one of the four largest cities in the state. The governor called, who, by the way, is the governor of the state, and his city is the capital. And he didn't bother returning the call.
Yeah, someone knew Kay Ivey who lives in Montgomery, so.
It's not hard. It's not a long-distance call. But yeah, Governor Kay Ivey's office says that she personally tried to reach Montgomery Mayor Stephen Reed on Monday morning to offer state assistance, but the mayor did not take the call and has not followed up. Governor Ivey says Gina Mayola, her press secretary, says attempted to reach Montgomery Mayor Stephen Reed Monday morning to offer support, and while he did not take the call, she left a voicemail to ask what she could do to help. She also specifically asked the mayor to work with Aaliyah Secretary Hal Taylor, and the administration has not heard back from the mayor or the police chief. All right, but here's what she's doing. So Governor Ivey issued two directives. Keep in mind, this is a major shooting in a city that's been dealing with violent crime, and it's right down the street from the Capitol. That's a big deal. Number one, she's allowing Aaliyah, our state law enforcement agency, Aaliyah to expand its Capitol patrols well past the Capitol property. So you're going to watch, and they're going to basically say we have more range. We can range out a little bit now. That's already happening. She also said that all available state assets are prepared to stabilize the city. What does that mean? I'm sure that means National Guard. I don't think in this case it will be necessary. I think that most people would argue, and I would understand, that this was not a endemic problem. This was an issue of a mass gathering. There won't be another mass gathering like this one for a while. And the crowd is part of the problem in this case because that's where it all started. But y'all, the fact remains that we've got a situation in Montgomery. Our state capital has got a crime problem. And we have got to get this under control. And this is our version of what's happening in places like Chicago. This is our version. And it shouldn't have to be that National Guard's required. Locals can do the job. I'll tell you more about it when we get back and then move into Tennessee too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Here we are, hour number two, Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday, baby. Let's just play it again. Why not?
But more importantly, y'all know what today is, right?
It's Taco Tuesday.
Visions of Hakeem Jeffries wearing a sombrero dancing in my head. Just like that.
Well, maybe we ought to change the picture of the Taco Tuesday button to a sombrero Hakeem.
If you want Hakeem with a sombrero staring at you every day when you sit at your desk.
I'm a pass.
Text line real quick. I'll get a few of those. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Brian S. from Huntsville. Brian S. says, the last three championships the Cowboys won were under Jerry Jones' ownership. Also, I believe he's one of the most conservative owners in the NFL, but I could be wrong about that. And that's what I was thinking, too. You were dissing the man a minute ago, but I thought I recalled him being quite the Republican and very conservative and yada.
I'm dissing him as an owner.
You're dissing him as an owner because he gets involved in the team's management or what?
Yeah, and I don't care that much because I'm not a Cowboys fan, but if you're going to ask me if I think he's a benefit to the Cowboys, I would say no, because those championships that Brian S. is referencing, I wasn't even alive when that happened. So,
well, neither were all the ones you try to claim for Alabama.
Try to claim or won?
Try.
Okay. Yeah, whatever.
You know I'm right.
No.
John C. from Madison says, I bet you the thugs that did the shootings in Montgomery are Democrats if they were to align with the party. You know what? I'm going to bet you the thugs that did this in Montgomery could care less about politics. I bet they could care less about life. But speaking of which, let me dive back on that, all right? So I'll finish up that piece of the story because one thing that I did not get to yet was that Governor Ivey has put in place a couple of directives. Number one, she says that Alabama Law Enforcement Agency will now expand its Capitol presence into key downtown corridors. So if you're familiar with the layout, the Capitol Police, the State Police, has authority over the Capitol grounds itself, but they're going to start ranging out, like state troopers, start ranging out a little bit and patrolling the areas around downtown in the Capitol area, the State House, those kind of things. And of course, right across the street is also the Attorney General's office. And so, yeah, there's the complex right there is not confined to just the Capitol building. She also said that all available assets, state assets, are prepared to stabilize the city, meaning I think that she would call the National Guard if she had to. Now, she also said in a separate article that I got from AL.com, Phil, did you go to AL.com? I did. I go to these places so you don't have to. But there was one quote in an AL.com article that I didn't see anywhere else where she said that she plans on asking the legislature to support additional resources to allow our state law enforcement presence to be more effective in downtown Montgomery. What does that mean? Probably up funding and maybe even giving them some form of expansive authorities that they didn't already have or jurisdictional grounds to work within. So there's that. So anyway, that big shooting, like I said, I think it's buried in the headlines. I think it's not even being really discussed on the national level. Maybe it doesn't fit the liberal narrative. I don't know. But the reality is that thing was a big, big, big deal. And it's right down the street from your state capitol in Alabama. Also, by the way, someone who is actively involved in enforcing the laws for the state of Alabama is the Attorney General. We had Attorney General Steve Marshall on the other day, but of course he's leaving. He's term limited out. He's running for U.S. Senate. The two lead candidates right now for the position of Attorney General to replace Steve Marshall are Catherine Robertson, who's his deputy senior counsel right now, and a guy named Jay Mitchell, who was on the state Supreme Court. So Catherine Robertson, Jay Mitchell, just so you know, they're both vying to be the state's next Attorney General. They raised nearly $137,000, that's Catherine Robertson, and $131,000, that's Jay Mitchell, last month. In other words, Catherine Robertson came in slightly ahead. Both of them had good fundraising. Robertson was quick to point out that her fundraising edge was definitely there. Robertson, I think, also, did she get the endorsement of Alpha? I'm not positive.
She did.
She did? So Robertson got the... Robertson
yes.
did. Okay, so
and
Robertson...
And I will verify that, but I'm almost certain.
Okay. Robertson got the endorsement of Alpha, the Alabama Farmers Federation, which is a big deal, because that's not just like an organization with a special interest kind of... That's basically... Every county has its own Farmers Federation office, and then they all agree to try and support that candidate. I mean, you can vote how you want, but she got the endorsement of what are known as the local federations, and that's what guided Alpha's statewide endorsement. So that's a big deal. So yeah, big doings in the race for Attorney General. What you got?
Oh, yeah, she was endorsed by Alpha,
okay.
Yes.
Good deal. Now, let's talk about Tennessee for a minute. Let's talk about the volunteer state, Tennessee. We have a special election. I'd forgotten this was happening. I guess because I don't live there. I don't see it on my TV and all that all the time. But right now, we're looking at Marsha Blackburn is running for governor, obviously, but there's also a special election to fill former Representative Mark Green's seat, and that election is coming up. Like, we're not waiting until next year. That special election is the 7th District of Tennessee, and listen, that district, Senator Marsha Blackburn and Donald Trump carried that district by 20 points last year. In other words, people care about Trump and Blackburn in the 7th district as they go to the polls. And that also means that if Trump was to do an endorsement, that would probably mean something. Well, it does. And I don't think he has yet. Did I miss that? Hang on one second. No, he has not yet. But right now, there's a crowded field in Tuesday's GOP primary. You've got a number of people. Trump did this endorse. That's right. He came in and endorsed a guy named Matt Van Epps. So a guy named Matt Van Epps just got the endorsement of Donald Trump at the end of last week. That's right. Other issues, it says, have fallen to the background now while the increasing drumbeat of campaign ads largely revolves around support for Trump and his policies. So everyone's trying to identify. In other words, here's what happens. People look at, is this a district that is supported by or supporting of Trump? Well, yeah, overwhelmingly. Trump won this particular congressional district by 20 points. That means people care what he thinks. That means every candidate's going to go, by the way, me and Trump are like this, you know, and try to, but then only one got the endorsement. Because the endorsement apparently matters here. If you were in Chicago, the endorsement might not matter as much. If you were in some, you know, San Francisco enclave, it might not matter as much. But it definitely matters there. Special election looming. People going to the polls very soon. I think it's a special election. The primary is underway, but the general election will be December 2nd. Yeah, December 2nd. So keep an eye on that, you guys. That's big doings because, listen, it's going to be a Republican, I feel certain. It's going to be a Republican. But can you get another one who's pretty decent like Mark Green was? Well, Trump has now endorsed this Van Epps guy. What do we know about him? Can you look him up? Martin Van Epps. Is it? No, Matt Van Epps. I'm sorry, Matt. And then the second name is two names, Van and then EPPS. Do you have a bio on him somewhere? I should have looked that up already.
It says Matt Van Epps is a West Point graduate.
Oh, wow.
Combat veteran, ready to support President Trump's MAGA agenda in Washington, is what it says on his website.
Okay. What did he do in the Army?
I don't know. I can look it up.
I want to know. By the way, while JP is doing his magic, oh, well, you got it?
Says it was a lieutenant colonel in the Tennessee Army National Guard.
Okay.
And he also served a decade on active duty, including deployments as a helicopter pilot and air mission commander and an Army special ops. So he was best ops guy, I guess.
Okay. Aviation special ops. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's good. All right. I like it. And then lastly, I will tell you this before we go to the break. Wrapping up our home fry segment. In Tennessee, you also have the governor's race going on. And it kind of reminds me of what's happening in Alabama. You have two of the most conservative U.S. senators, both of whom had their phones, you know, monitored by the Biden DOJ. But Marsha Blackburn and Tommy Tuberville, both U.S. senators, both running for governors of their adjacent southern states. Marsha Blackburn, according to the story here from the Beacon Center. By the way, if you're not familiar, we talk about Alabama Policy Institute a lot here in Alabama. The Beacon Center is the Tennessee version of API. Very conservative. If you ever want to know what's going on in your state legislative deals, what the policies are you should care about, all you got to do is go to their website, Beacon Center in Tennessee. They're really strong. I like those folks a lot. But it says that Blackburn currently holds a commanding 52-point lead over her nearest competitor. That's huge. I don't know what she could possibly do to lose 52 points. At this point, the race is hers to lose. The Beacon poll shows that both Blackburn and Rose, who is the other candidate, would hold a generic lead by 19 points over any Democrat. So Blackburn holds a commanding lead in the primary currently, and I believe she will maintain that. And then the Republican holds a commanding lead over the Democrat in the general. I think you're looking at, obviously, a Marsha Blackburn governorship, and I think she and Tommy Tuberville will be a force to be reckoned with in the Southeast.
I was about to say, we got Governor-elect Tuberville and Governor-elect Blackburn.
It appears to be that way. Go ahead and just put the crown on their head. I think they're there. All right, we're taking a break. That's enough of home fries. We will come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned.